Today we're going to learn the Perites Mishnah Gimel and Dalit, the second and third to last Mishnah is in the entire Masechta. So we are up to Perites Mishnah Gimel. Says in the Mishnah, Bana Bayis Chadash, V'kana Kelim Chadashim. If a person builds a new house or he buys new Kelim, Bartanur points out, new Kelim, even if it's, you already have Kayotziben, you already have Kelim that are just like it, but these are very valuable Kelim. Omer Baruch Shechianu, the bracha that one should recite, is a Shechianu on these new Kelim. Mevarich Not only that, one recites a bracha on bad things that happen even when they are me'ein hatova. What does that mean, me'ein hatova? So the Gemara says, for example, let's say your whole field floods. It ruins all of your grain for this year. But now the ground is going to be so saturated, it's going to produce a better crop next year. Still, now it's bad, so now you say Dayana MS, even though it might mean some very good news for the future. V'alatova me'ein hara'a. And on the reverse side, if you have something very good happens to you right now, even though it might spell trouble later on, right now it's good. So right now you say Hatova Meitiv. What would be an example of something that's very good now that might spell trouble later on? So Bartanura says that you found a very expensive Metzia. Now it could be that if the king finds out that you found this precious gem, he's going to be chovto b'makos v'yisurin v'shakal aminei. He's going to punish you and beat you and take it from you. So that would be very terrible. But in the meantime, it's quite good. In the meantime, you're very happy about that. Hatzoik l'sha'avar harezu tefilas shav. If a person davens for that which already happened, for the past, that's a tefilas shav. So if it's already something that happened yesterday and you're davening that the outcome should be different and it's already over, that's considered a waste. Tefillah. And Rabbi Kivega points out in the bottom of Shulchan Aruch, it doesn't just mean you're wasting your time, it's an iser, meaning we're not allowed to just daven whenever we want to daven. We say before each Shemana Esrei, Hashem Sfasai Tiftach Ufi Yagiti Lasecha, we ask for Rishus to daven, because who are we to approach the Ribbono Shel Olam? So we need a matir to be able to daven. We can't just go and approach HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So there are rules and regulations about how to daven, and we have to follow those rules and regulations. If you're davening a tefillah shav, that's an aveira, you're not allowed to daven. In a tefillah shav. So Kate said, what would be an example about a tefillah about that which already happened? So it wouldn't be something that already happened that everybody knows already happened. That would be ridiculous. Only a deranged person would daven like that, meaning if yesterday, yesterday my favorite team lost the Super Bowl, and then on Monday morning I'm davening that they should win the Super Bowl. That's ridiculous. Everyone knows that that's ridiculous. That's not the classic example. Classic example is if your wife is pregnant and you don't know yet what the gender of the baby is. So you daven, that you dafka want the baby to be a particular gender. The example the Mishnah gives is a zachar, but who adin if you were davening that it should be a nekeva? It was just the assumption was that a man would be davening that it's a zachar. Harezu tefillah shav, that is a tefillah shav, because the baby is what it is already. The Gemara tells us that already at the time of conception, the gender is determined. And science tells us the same thing, that gender is determined at the time of conception. So it's too late to daven at that point in time. The Gemara asks the question, but wait a second, Leah Imenu davened for the gender to change. When she found out that she was pregnant with Dina, and she realized that she already had six of the Shvatim, and that Bilhah and Zilpah each had two of the Shvatim, that if she has a seventh, then her sister is going to have fewer Shvatim than even the Shvachos. So she couldn't bear the thought of her sister having less than even the Shvachos. So she davened that the baby inside of her should be a girl, and the Gemara says that it turned into a girl. It was going to be a boy, but through her tefillah, it turned into a girl. So the Gemara asks, how is Leah allowed to daven like that? Isn't that a tefillah shav? Isn't that against the Mishnah? Doesn't Leah know the Mishnah? Wasn't she doing Mishnah Yomi? So the Gemara answers a couple of possible answers. One is that in Maskirin Maisin Nisim, that Leah lived where Nes and Teva were the same. Meaning there are certain tzaddikim that live on such a madrega where there's no real difference between that which is a miracle and that which is natural. So they're allowed to daven for Nisim. So even though it's miraculous to change the gender in utero, but Leah was allowed to daven for such things. Mere mortals, the rest of us are not allowed to daven for such things. The other answer the Gemara has is that while it's true that gender is determined at conception, it's somewhat fluid until 40 days. That up until 40 days, gender is not fully determined. Only at 40 days into pregnancy is it fully determined, and therefore maybe up until 40 days into pregnancy one is permitted to daven, and Leah must have davened within the 40 days. Those are the two answers the Gemara gives in this case. This is very relevant halacha lemaisa. A lot of times, you know, you're awaiting the result of a medical test. You know, you either have the disease or you don't have the disease. You're just awaiting the result of the test, or lav dafka a medical test. You took an exam, and it just has to be graded, and it's a machine that's going to be doing the grading. There's no room for human error. So what? You're davening that the test will be good? It either was good or it isn't good. So it's pashtus, says you're not allowed to daven for such things. Similarly, if a person was traveling, and he hears a ruckus in the city, that someone's screaming and crying, something terrible happened. And he says, that this shouldn't be happening in my house. That is a tefillah shav. That is a wasted tefillah. The poskim can point out, what you're allowed to say is that I know that I raised my family with such a calm demeanor and to take everything in stride, that I know this can't possibly be from my house, because in my house there's no screaming. If that happens to be true about your house, you could say such a thing. But that's what the poskim can point out, that a person is allowed to be tzoek lisha avar. The person is allowed to say such a thing, but you're not allowed to be tzoek lisha avar. You're not allowed, allowed to daven about that which already happened. Mishnah Dalet, Hanichnas Lekrach, if a person enters into a large city, Mispalel Shtayim, he should say two tefillos. What kind of two tefillos? Achas b'chnisaso v'achas b'yitziaso. One on his way in, that everything should go well, and one on his way out, that everything should go well with his travels on the way out. But Ben Azayomer, Arba, that he should daven four tefillos, shtayim b'chnisaso, shtayim b'yitziaso, two tefillos on the way in and two tefillos on the way out. Why two on the way in and two on the way out? So the Rav explains, b'chnisaso you should daven shetachniseini l'krach zel l'shalom, that everything should go smoothly, but then once you're in, modani l'fenecha shehichnastani l'krach zel l'shalom, you have to give a karas hatop to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that everything went properly, and when you want to leave, you daven a tefillah that everything should go smoothly on your way out, and then after you get out, you should daven, you should give HaKadosh HaTov to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A lot of times, we're very good at asking for things when we're in situations of desperation, but we're not so great at reminding Hashem that we're grateful to what He did for us, and expressing our HaKadosh HaTov to HaKadosh Baruch Hu afterwards. So that's the, whether we passing like Ben Azai or not, the idea we certainly passing like that, you should remember to say thank you, you should remember to follow up and give Hoda'ah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That Hoda'ah is part of our Shemoneh Esrei each and every day. In fact, in the last mission, when we said that you're allowed to daven only for the future, you're not allowed to daven for the past, that's only partially true. You are allowed to give Hoda'ah on the past. You daven a tza'aka when you cry out, then you do a bakasha and you ask for something. That's the future. But Hoda'ah can be on the past. You give Hoda'ah for that which already happened, but you are tzoik la'asalavo for that which has not, happened. Okay, so to quickly review, Mishnah Gimel, we learned that if you buy new expensive things that are just for you, you say a shachianu, that you say atov ha'meitiv, even it might turn out badly in the long run, and you say Dayana Emes, even if it might turn out good in the long run, you say the bracha based on what the experience is right now, and that you're not allowed to daven a tefillah shav. And the two examples we gave of a tefillah shav are the gender of a child for an already pregnant woman, and that the crying in the city should not be from your house when it's already going on. In Mishnah Dalet, we learned Machlokas Tanakam and Ben Azai, how many tefillos you say when you travel into and out of a city, either one on the way in, one on the way out, or two on the way in, two on the way out, because in addition to having bakashos and being tzoik, a person also needs to make sure to give hoda'ah for that which HaKadosh Baruch Hu has already done for him. So we'll stop there, but next time we'll finish the Masechta and begin the next Masechta.